Our drama now on Radio 4 is by the English writer Somerset Maugham. Written and staged 15 years after the end of the First World War, For Services Rendered follows the fortunes of the Ardsley family. The play begins in the late summer of 1932 in the small village of Rambleston in Kent, home to the Ardsley family.
Gertrude, go down to the tennis court and tell them that tea is ready.
Very good, Mum.
Where would you like to sit, dear?
Anywhere.
What have you been doing all the afternoon?
Nothing very much. Knitting a bit.
Ethel's here. Howard's coming to fetch her on his way home from Stanbury.
I suppose he'll be as tight as a drum.
Oh, Sydney.
What rot it all is. Does Ethel really think we don't know he drinks?
She's proud. She doesn't want to admit that she made a mistake.
I shall never stop asking myself what on earth she saw in him.
Everything was so different then. He looked very nice in uniform.
You and Father ought to have put your foot down.
They were madly in love with one another. When all that slaughter was going on, it seemed so snobbish to object to a man because he was just a small tenant farmer.
Did you think the war was going on forever?
No. But it looked as though the world would be a changed place when it stopped.
It's funny when you think of it. Everything goes on in the same old way, except that we're all broke to the wide, and a few hundred thousand fellows like me have had our chance of making a good job of life snatched away from us. Cheer up, Mother. No one can say I didn't do my bit.
They're just coming.
Others are coming as soon as they've finished the set. Hello, Sydney.
Hello.
How are you today, Sydney? You're looking very well.
Oh, I'm all right, thanks.
Busy as a bee, as usual, I suppose. You're simply amazing.
Let me give you some tea, Gwen.
I do admire you. I mean, you must have a great strength of character.
A will of iron.
I remember when I was ill last spring and they kept me in a darkened room for nearly a week. It was quite intolerable. But I kept on saying to myself, well, it's nothing compared to what poor Sydney has to put up with.
And you were quite right.
One lump of sugar?
Oh, no, I never take sugar. It's Lent all the year round for me. It's a marvel to me how you pass the time.
Charming women like you are very sweet to me. And my sisters are good enough to play chess with me. I improve my mind by reading.
Oh, yes, Braille. I love reading. I always read at least one novel a day.
How's the farm, Ethel?
We're making the most of the fine weather.
Must be so interesting living on a farm. Making butter and all that sort of thing.
One's at it from morning till night. It keeps one from thinking.
But of course you have people to do all the rough work for you.
What makes you think that?
You don't mean to say you do it yourself. How on earth do you keep your hands?
I don't.
Here are the others.
Tea, tea, tea.
By George, they made us run about. Hello, Sydney.
How were you playing?
Lois and me against Eva and Collie.
Of course, Wilfred's in a different class from us.
That forehand drive of yours is devilish.
I've had a lot of practice, you know, playing in tournaments on the Riviera and so on.
Of course, he was too old for singles, but a few years ago he was one of the best doubles players in Cannes.
I don't know that I play any worse than I played a few years ago.
Well, you can't expect to get across the court as you used to when you were young. I mean, that's just silly.
Gwen always talks as if I was 100. What I say is, a woman's as old as she looks and a man's as old as he feels.
It has been said before.
How would you like your tea?
Oh, Mother, I'm sure they want to drink.
Clever girl, Lois.
What would you like?
Well, a glass of beer sounds good to me. What about you, Colin?
Oh, that suits me.
I'll tell Gertrude.
Tell your father that if he wants any tea, he'd better come now.
Very well.
Damn convenient for your husband having his office in the house.
He's got a private door so that he can slip away without the client seeing him.
Ah, the beer, the beer.
Father's just coming. He wants to see you, Colin.
Oh, does he?
That doesn't look good, old man. When a solicitor wants to see you, it's generally that he has something disagreeable to say to you.
Hurry up and drink your beer, and we'll give them their revenge. It'll be getting dark soon.
Oh, are you going to play again, Wilfred? Don't you think it's time we went home?
What's the hurry? You take the car, I'll have another set, and I'll walk back.
Oh, if you're not coming, I'll wait.
Oh, come on. You can trust me out of your sight just this once. I promise to be a good boy.
All right. A brisk walk won't do your figure any harm.
I'll come as far as the door with you, Mrs. Seaver.
Where's my stick, Evie?
Here it is.
I think I'll totter down to the court and see how you all play.
I'll come with you, shall I?
I think I'd better get some fresh tea for Father.
Hurry up, Evie. The light will be going.
Right, I'll have a minute.
What should we do in this house without Evie?
What would Evie do without us? You can't sacrifice yourself unless there's someone you can sacrifice yourself for.
You're a cynical bloke.
And ungrateful.
Not at all. It's jam for Evie to have an invalid to look after. If she could make me see by saying a magic word, do you think she'd say it? Not on your life.
Come on, give me your arm.
Stare a copper for a blind man, sir.
I'll just go and hunt for that ball. I think I know more or less where it is. Give me a shout when Evie comes.
Good-looking girl, that. Mm. Nice, too. And she's got a head on her shoulders.
Plays a good game of tennis.
Funny she shouldn't have been snapped up before now. If I was a young fellow and single, I shouldn't hesitate.
She hasn't got much chance here, poor thing. Who the devil is there she can marry in a place like this?
I wonder you don't have a cut in yourself.
I'm 15 years older than she is. And I haven't got a bean. I say, old man, I suppose you wouldn't do me a favour.
Of course I will, old boy. What is it?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm in a bit of a hole. Business has been rotten lately.
I know it has. And I don't know when things are going to improve. I can tell you, I'm damn glad I got out when the going was good. I sold out at the top of the market, just in time.
Lucky.
Lucky be damned. Clever, I call it.
Look here, old man, I hate asking you, but I'm terribly hard up just now. I should be awfully grateful if you could lend me a bit.
Why, my dear boy, of course I will. I'm always glad to oblige a friend. How much do you want?
That's awfully kind of you. Could you manage £200?
Oh, I say, that's real money. I thought you were going to say a tenner. £200 is quite another story.
It's not very much for you.
I'm not made of money, you know. My investments have gone down like everybody else's. Believe me, I haven't got more than I can spend.
I'm in a most awful jam.
Why don't you go into the bank?
I'm overdrawn already. They won't lend me a bob.
But haven't you got any security?
Not that they'll accept.
Then what do you expect me to lend you the money on?
I'll give you my word of honour to return it as soon as I can.
My dear old boy, you're a damn good chap and a DSO and all that sort of thing. But this is business.
You've known me for 6 months now. You must know I'm honest.
I know it's hard for you fellows who have been axed. When I heard you'd been in the Navy, of course, I came to you for my petrol and tyres and repairs. I paid all my bills on the nail.
I've given you a good service.
I know you have. I'm very sorry your garage hasn't proved a good proposition. But I really don't see that I'm called upon to make you a present of £200.
I'm not asking it as a present.
I'm awfully sorry, old boy, but there's nothing doing. I wonder if Lois has found that ball yet.
What's the matter? You're looking terribly depressed.
I'm sorry.
Oh, tell me what the matter is.
It wouldn't interest you.
Why do you say that? Don't you know that anything that concerns you interests me?
That's very sweet of you.
I should like you to look upon me as a friend.
I do.
Well, tell me what it is, then. Perhaps I can help you.
I'm afraid not. I think you've got troubles enough of your own without sharing mine.
Oh, you mean looking after Sydney? I don't look upon that as a trouble. I'm glad to do what I can for the poor boy.
It's very good of you, all the same.
Looking after Sydney helped me bear the loss of poor Ted.
Was that the man you were engaged to?
Yes. I was terribly unhappy when he was killed. I'm afraid I was rather morbid about it. No one can't afford to give in, can one? I mean, life is given to us, and it's our duty to make the best we can out of it.
Naturally, one gets over everything in the course of time.
It's rather strange that you should never have married Collie.
I never had anything to marry on.
Oh, money isn't everything. A clever woman can manage on very little. I must have a look around and see if I can't find someone to suit you.
I'm afraid I'm too old now.
Oh, what nonsense. You're just the same age as I am. Between you and me in the gatepost, I don't believe there's a girl who wouldn't jump at the chance if you asked her.
Well, I'm not likely to do that.
Are you waiting for her to ask you? Well, that's wanting almost too much.
I suppose it is, really.
After all, a nice girl can't do much more than show a man she's not indifferent to him and leave him to draw what conclusions he pleases.
I've got an awful headache. I wonder if you'd tell the others that I can't play tennis again today. Perhaps Ethel will make up a four.
Oh, my dear. Of course, you mustn't play. That's quite all right. Oh, there you are, Father. We've all had tea.
I had someone with me. How are you, Stratton? Run along, Evie. I'll help myself. I want to have a word with our young friend.
All right.
I've just seen Radley.
Yes.
I'm afraid I haven't got very good news for you.
He won't wait?
He can't wait.
Then what's to be done?
Well, the only sensible thing is to file your petition.
That's ridiculous. It's only a matter of £187. I'm sure if I can hang on a little longer, I can manage. When does Radley want to be paid?
Well, the first of the month.
I've just got to get the money before then, that's all.
You've had a hard struggle and you've deserved to succeed. You know, you needn't worry about my fees. We'll forget about them.
That's very kind of you.
Well, just not a bit of it. Believe me, no one would be sorrier than I if you're beaten. You rather put your eggs in the one basket, didn't you?
Everything. If I go bust, I haven't a shilling. I'll be thankful if I can get a job driving a motor bus.
Hope we won't come to that.
How are you, Leonard? Oh, Stratton.
Just in time for a cup of tea. Stratton, don't bother about us if you want to go and play tennis.
No, I'm not playing anymore. I'll hop it. Goodbye, Mrs. Ardsley.
Are you going already?
I'm afraid I must.
Well, goodbye. Come again soon.
Goodbye.
Will you have some tea?
No, thank you.
Collie looks rather worried. Is anything the matter?
I'm told his garage isn't doing any too well.
It's the same old story. All these ex-officers. They go into business without knowing anything about it, and by the time they've learned how many beans make five, they've lost every bob they've got.
It's very hard on them.
Well, of course it is. But what's to be done about it? The nation can't afford itself the luxury of supporting an army of officers it has no use for. Hey, is this just a friendly call, Charlie, or are you hunting a patient? Personally, I am in robust health. Thank you very much.
That's what you say. I expect your blood pressure's awful.
Get along with you. I haven't ever had a day's illness in my life.
Well, don't blame me if you have a stroke. I always have my suspicions about a man who looks as well as you do.
As a matter of fact, I wanted to have a little talk with Charlie about Eva. She's been very jumpy lately.
Oh, that's only your fancy, my dear. She's getting a little old maidish. The great thing is to give her occupation. Fortunately, Sydney gives her plenty to do.
Sydney keeping pretty fit?
Well, as fit as can be expected.
Poor old Sydney. The only thing we can do is to make things as easy for him as we can. Well, it's been a great blow to me. I was hoping he'd go into the business. He'd have been able to take a lot of the work off my hands now. I've paid for the war, all right.
He has too, in a way.
Well, yes, well, of course. But he's got used to it. Invalids do, you know. Well, it's lucky I've got my health and strength anyway. I must go back and do a good job of work.
Leonard's a wonderful fellow. He always looks at the bright side of things.
It's a strength.
You've spoiled him.
I've loved him.
I wonder why.
I can't imagine.
I suppose because he never sees further than the end of his nose, and I've always had to take care that he didn't trip over the obvious and hurt himself.
What did you want to say to me about Evie?
I want her to come and see you. She's been losing weight. I'm uneasy about her.
I'll have to talk to her. But, you know, I'm more concerned about you. I don't like this pain you've been complaining of.
I don't think it's very important. I suppose most women of my age have it now and then.
I've been thinking about it. I want you to let me make a proper examination.
I'd hate it.
I'm not a bad doctor, you know, even though I am your brother.
You can't do anything for me. When the pain gets bad, I take an aspirin.
If you won't let me examine you, I shall go to Leonard.
No, don't do that. He'll have a fit.
Come along, then.
Now?
Yes, now.
I disliked you when you were a little boy and used to make me bowl to you, and every year that has passed since then has made me dislike you more.
You're a wrinkled old hag, Charlotte, and women ought to be young and pretty. But upon my word, there's something about you that I can't help liking.
Hello, Uncle Charlie.
Tennis is off.
Evie says Collie's got a bad head.
He's gone home.
I'm taking your mother off to have a look at her.
Oh, Mother, he will.
No, darling, of course not. Uncle Charlie's an old fuss-pot.
Do you want me to take myself off?
No. Sit down. Would you like a drink?
Not at the moment. Let's have a talk.
The days are drawing in. Oh, how I hate the winter.
Must be pretty grim down here.
The wind. When do you go south?
Oh, not for another month.
Shall you take a house here again next year?
I don't know. Would you like me to?
Naturally. It's awful when there's no one at the manor.
Do you know, you're a very pretty girl.
It doesn't do me much good.
I wonder you don't go on the stage.
I can't go on the stage just like that.
With your looks, you could always get a job in the chorus.
Can you see Father's face if I suggested it?
You haven't got much chance of marrying in a place like this.
Oh, I don't know. Someone might turn up.
I believe you'd be a success on the stage.
One has to have training. At least a year. I'd have to live in London. It costs money.
I'll pay.
You? Well, what do you mean?
Why not? I mean, it's absurd at this time of day to be conventional.
What do you think Gwen would say?
She needn't know.
Anyhow, it's too late. I'm 26. One has to start at 18. It's extraordinary how the years slip by. I didn't realise I was growing up till I was 20. I vaguely thought of becoming a typist or a hospital nurse, but I never got beyond thinking of it. I suppose I thought I'd marry.
What'll you do if you don't?
Become an old maid? Be the solace of my parents' declining years?
I don't think much of that.
I'm not complaining, you know. Life's so monotonous here. Time slips by without your noticing it. What made you suggest that just now? Paying for my training?
Oh, I don't know. I was sorry for you.
You don't give me the impression of a philanthropist.
Well, if you must know, I'm crazy about you.
And you thought I'd show my gratitude in the usual way?
I never thought about it.
Come off it!
You're not angry with me. It's not my fault I'm just dotty about you.
After all, you are old enough to be my father.
I know. You needn't rub it in.
I think it's just as well that you're going away in a month.
I'd do anything in the world for you, Lois.
You're a monstrous old man. If I were a properly brought up young woman, I should ring for a flunky and have you shown the door.
God, how I love you. It's a relief to be able to say it at all of it. I can't make out how you never guessed.
It never occurred to me. Does Gwen know?
Oh, no, she never sees anything. She hasn't got the brains of a louse.
You're not going to make a nuisance of yourself, are you?
No. I'm going to leave you to think about it.
That's not necessary. There's nothing doing. I can tell you that at once. Take care, there's someone coming.
Well, here I am.
Hello, Howard.
Oh, I've caught you, have I? What are you doing with my sister-in-law, Cedar? Eh? You be careful of that man, Lois. He's up to no good.
Oh, shut up, Howard.
I know him. He's just the kind of fella to lead a poor girl astray.
Howard, you've had a couple.
I know I have. And I'm feeling all the better for it. What I mean to say is, leave the girl alone, Cedar. A poor motherless child, an innocent maiden, I appeal to your better nature.
Do you know what the matter with you is, Bartlett?
I do not.
You're tight.
Me? I'm sober as a judge. How many drinks do you think I've had today?
More than you can count.
On the fingers of one hand, maybe, but not on the fingers of two. It wants more than that to make me tight.
You're getting older. You can't carry your liquor like you used to.
Do you know, when I was an officer, I could drink a bottle of whiskey at a sitting and not turn a hair. Here's the doctor. We'll ask him.
Oh, Howard. I didn't know you were here.
As large as life.
Been into Stanborough.
Market day today. Do you know what this chap says? He says I'm tight. Uncle Charlie and Dr. Prentice, as one man to another, tell me, am I tight? Now, don't mind hurting my feelings, I'll bear it. Whatever you say, like an officer and a gentleman. Shun!
I've seen men a lot tighter.
You examine me. I want to get to the bottom of this. Tell me to say British Constitution.
Say British Constitution.
I've already said it. You can't catch me that way.
Howard, had a good day?
Ethel.
Hello, Howard.
Hello.
How was business?
Rotten. Everybody's broke. Farming. What a game. What I ask you is, why the government don't do something?
Well, they've promised to.
Why are they going to keep their promises? You know they're not. I know they're not. And they know they're not.
The only thing is to grin and bear it as we've grinned and borne it all these years.
Are we the backbone of the country or not?
I've never heard a Member of Parliament who didn't say so.
I know what I'm talking about.
Of course you do.
Then why does he contradict me?
I wasn't contradicting you. I was agreeing with you.
Were you, old boy? Well, that's damn nice of you. You're a sport. I've always liked you, Sydney.
Hello.
Oh,
Gwen. I'm like a bad penny. I was just passing your door and the maid told me Wilfred was still here, so I thought I'd step in for him.
Of course.
What's the idea, Gwen?
I didn't think you'd want to walk all that way.
You said you were going home.
I remembered. I had some things to do.
Good God, surely I don't have to explain why I want to walk.
It seems so silly when the car is there.
You're making a fool of yourself, Gwen.
How rude you are, Wilfred.
It's maddening that you can never trust me out of your sight for 10 minutes.
You're so fascinating. I'm always afraid some bold, bad woman will be running after you.
Come on, then. Let's go.
Tiresome creatures, men, aren't they, Mrs. Ardsley?
Goodbye, Mrs. Ardsley. Thank you very much.
It's been a lovely afternoon. So kind of you to ask us.
I hope you'll come again very soon.
Bye.
What's the trouble?
What a fool of a woman.
I bet he gives her hell in the car.
Listen to Howard. He's tired out, poor dear. One of the cows has something the matter with her and he was up at 5 this morning.
Let him sleep for a little, Ethel. Sydney, hadn't you better come in? It's beginning to get quite chilly.
All right.
How's the neuralgia been lately?
Bearable, you know.
Poor Howard. He works so hard. I'm glad to see him get a few minutes' rest.
Well, you work hard too, and you get no rest.
Would you marry him over again if you could put the clock back?
Why, of course. Howard's been a wonderful husband.
Evie, Sydney would like a game of chess.
All right, Mother, I'll come.
Don't you hate chess?
I loathe it. Poor Evie.
Well, it's one of the few games Sydney can play. I'm glad to do anything I can to make life a little easier for him.
That horrible war.
The chances are it'll go on like this till we're all weary old women.
I'll go.
At all events,
you've got your children, Ethel.
Oh, I've got nothing to complain of.
We'll be right back.
and thinking, said his wifey dear. Now that things are peaceful and calm, the boys will soon be back on the farm. Mr. Reuben started winking and slowly rubbed his chin. He pulled his chair up close to Mother and he asked her with a grin, how you gonna keep 'em down on the farm after they've seen Paris? How you gonna keep 'em away from Broadway, just the rush to paint the town? How you gonna keep 'em away from harm? That's a mystery. They'll never want to see a rake or plow. And who the heck can Barley boo a cow? How you gonna keep 'em down on the farm?
Charlie's car's just driven up.
Do attend to the game, Evie.
It's your move. He's been here rather often lately.
Well, you know what he is. He will fuss.
You're not ill, Mother, are you?
No, only old.
I doubt whether even Uncle Charlie can do very much about that.
That's what I tell him.
Dr. Prentice.
How are you all? Don't let me disturb your game.
Queen's Knight to Queen's Bishop Third.
Chilly today.
Have you arranged something?
Yes. 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
That'll suit very well.
Where's Lois?
Playing golf with Wilfred. She said she'd bring him back with her. And Collie's coming in so that we can have a rubber or two of bridge.
Oh, that'll be nice for you, Sydney.
King's Knight to Queen's Third.
That's an idiotic move, Evie.
Oh, there's no reason why I shouldn't make it if I want to.
You must protect your bishop.
Play your own game and let me play mine.
Evie?
You won't look ahead.
Good God! Don't I spend my life looking ahead? And a damn cheerful prospect it is.
My dear, what on earth's the matter with you?
Oh, nothing. I'm sorry. I'll protect my bishop. Queen's bishop pawn to bishop's fourth.
I'm afraid that's not a very good move.
It'll do.
There's not the least use playing chess unless you're prepared to give it some attention.
Oh, can't you stop nagging? It's enough to drive one insane.
I didn't mean to nag. I won't say another word.
I'm sick of it!
Evie, what's the matter with you? You mustn't lose your temper because you're losing a game. That's childish.
As if I cared whether I lost or won. I hate the filthy game.
I think it's very boring myself.
Sydney has so few amusements.
Why should I be sacrificed all the time?
My dear, we thought you liked it.
I'm sick of being a drudge. I'm very sorry he's blind, but it's not my fault. I am not responsible for the war. He ought to go into a home.
Oh, how cruel, how callous.
He took his chance, like the rest of them. He's very lucky not to have been killed.
That, of course, is a matter of opinion.
It's monstrous that he should try to prevent anyone else from having a good time.
I thought it was a privilege to be able to do what we could to make life easier for him when he gave so much for us.
I've given enough.
What's the matter with her?
She wants a man, that's all.
Oh, Sydney, don't. That's horrible.
But it's not unnatural.
You mustn't take any notice of what she said to you.
I knew it already. 15 years is a long time.
If you could bear it, there's no reason why others shouldn't.
It was easier for me, you know. Being blind is an occupation in itself. But of course it's hard on the others. At first it gives them a sort of exultation to look after you. And then they take you on as a matter of course. But in the end, human nature being what it is, you become just a damn bore.
You'll never be a bore to me, Sydney.
I know. You've got that queer, incomprehensible thing that's called mother instinct.
I suppose I ought to go to Evie.
I'd leave her alone for a little longer.
Mrs. Cedar asked me to give you this, ma'am.
Oh. Is she in the drawing room?
No, ma'am. She's waiting in her car.
ask her to come in.
Very good, ma'am. Very strange.
What is it?
It's from Gwen. She asks if she can see me alone for a few minutes.
I'll get out then.
I'll go too.
I wonder what she wants.
Probably an address or something.
Well, she could have telephoned.
Am I right in thinking she's a very silly woman?
Quite right.
Mrs. Cedar.
How do you do?
I hope you don't think it very strange my sending in a note like that. I simply had to see you.
Do sit down. We shan't be disturbed.
I think I'd better come straight to the point.
It's always a good plan.
You know that I'm Wilfred's second wife?
No, I didn't.
He's my second husband. We fell very much in love with one another and there were divorce proceedings. We've been married for 12 years. It's all so long ago, I didn't see any reason to say anything about it when we came down here.
It was nobody's business but your own.
We've been awfully happy together. It's been a great success.
I imagine he's a very easy man to get on with.
Of course, he's always been very attractive to women.
That's a thing I'm no judge about.
He's got a way with him that takes them. And he pays them all kinds of little attentions that flatter them. But of course it doesn't mean anything.
It seldom does.
It's the kind of thing that's quite likely to turn a girl's head. It would be silly to take him seriously. After all, he's a married man, and I would never divorce him, whatever he did. Never.
My dear, you said you were coming straight to the point. Aren't you beating about the bush a good deal?
Don't you know what I mean?
I haven't an idea.
I'm very relieved to hear it.
Won't you explain?
You won't be angry with me?
I shouldn't think so.
He's been paying a lot of attention to your Lois.
Oh, my dear, don't be so ridiculous.
They're together all the time.
Nonsense. They play tennis and golf together. They're playing golf now. There are very few men for your husband to play with during the week. It's been nice for them both. You don't mean to say you're jealous of that?
I know he's madly in love with her.
Oh, my dear, that's only fancy.
How do you know that she isn't in love with him?
He's old enough to be her father.
What does that matter?
A lot, I should say. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you know, a girl of Lois's age looks upon you and me, your husband and mine, as older than God.
It isn't as if there were a lot of men here. A girl can't pick and choose in a place like this.
Now, I'm afraid I think you're not being very polite.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude. I'm so utterly miserable.
You poor dear. I'm sure you're mistaken. And in any case, you're going away soon and that'll end it.
Then you do think there is something to end?
No. End your fear, I mean. I dare say men of that age are often rather taken by bright young things. I think a sensible wife just shrugs her shoulders and laughs. Her safety is that the bright young things look upon her husband as an old fogey.
Oh, I hope you're right. If only you knew the agony I've been through since I found out.
I'm sure I'm right. And if there is any truth in what you think, I'm convinced that a fortnight after you've left here, he'll have forgotten about her.
Hello. Are you here, Gwen?
Yes. Your mother wanted to see me about the sale of work. I'm just going.
Wilfred's here.
Is he? Give him my love and tell him not to be late for dinner. Mm. You're going to play bridge, aren't you?
Yes. Collie and Howard are coming. They'll have a man's four. Mm.
Wilfred says your brother plays just as well as if he could see.
Yes, it's rather marvellous. Of course, we have special cards.
Oh. Pretty chain, that is, you're wearing. I've never seen it before.
I bought it the other day when I went to Stanbury.
How extravagant of you. I didn't know anyone could afford to buy pearls now.
It's only cost a pound.
Aren't they real?
Of course not. How could they be?
I think I know something about pearls. I would have sworn they were real.
They do make them marvellously now. I wonder anyone bothers to have real pearls at all.
Goodbye, Mrs. Ansley.
Goodbye, my dear. Lewis, dear, I've been thinking you look rather piqued. Don't you think it would be a good idea if you went to stay at Aunt Emily's for a week or two?
I should hate it.
You'll have to go before the end of the year.
Much better go now and get it over.
It's so incredibly boring.
Well, think about it a little.
I can't have you not looking your best, you know, or I shall never get you off my hands.
Oh, here's Collie.
Hi, Mrs. Ansley.
You'll find Sydney in the drawing room.
Lois?
You're early.
I had an appointment with your father, but he's had to go out. I'll go along to the drawing room.
Righto.
Lois?
Hello?
Where are you?
In the dining room.
As Collie's here, why shouldn't we start?
Howard's coming.
I know, but there's no reason why you shouldn't play a rubber or two before he does.
Come in a minute, will you?
Why?
Shut the door.
It's shut.
These pearls you gave me. They are false, aren't they?
Of course.
How much did they cost?
I told you, £1.
Gwen's just been here.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. Shame to see Mother about the sale of work.
Oh, is that all? She's been very funny lately.
She says they're real.
What does she know about it?
She says she knows a great deal. Is she right?
I wouldn't swear she wasn't.
Why did you say they were false?
I didn't think you'd take them if you thought they were real.
Naturally.
What are you doing?
I'm going to give them back to you.
You can't do that now. You'll give the whole show away.
There's nothing to give away.
No, isn't there? You don't know Gwen. She's got the tongue of a serpent.
I can't accept a valuable pearl necklace from you.
At all events, you must go on wearing it till we go away.
How much did you pay for it?
My dear, it's not very good manners to ask what a present costs.
Several hundred pounds.
I shouldn't wonder.
Do you know, I've never had a valuable thing in my life. I should be scared stiff of losing it.
Don't give it a thought. I'm not a very poor man, and if you do, I shall survive it.
I might never have known. I might have worn it for years under the impression it was worth nothing.
That's what I hope for. I'm so terribly in love with you. Give me a kiss, Lois. You do like me a little, don't you?
Yes.
Do you think you could ever love me?
It wouldn't be much use, would it?
I'd do anything in the world for you. I know I could make you happy. After all, you don't want to stay in this deadly little place all your life.
What are you asking me to do now? Run away with you?
Why not?
And be chucked the moment you were sick of me. Thank you.
I'll settle £20,000 on you tomorrow. If you don't like to run away with me, you needn't.
Don't be such a donkey.
Gwen would divorce me if I made it worth her while, and then we'd be married.
I've always understood that when the gay seducer had worked his wicked will on the village maiden, he screamed like a hyena at the thought of making an honest woman of her.
Oh, Lois, don't laugh at me. I love you with all my heart. I wish to God I was 20 years younger. I want you so awfully. I want you for keeps.
Let's go and play bridge.
Sydney's getting impatient. And Howard says if you don't come along at once, you'll have to marry the girl.
I didn't know you were here.
We've only just come.
Oh, well, if Howard's here, you don't want me.
All right, we'll start a rubber. But come and cut in later, won't you?
I hear Evie's been making a scene.
Has she? About what?
Oh, I don't know. Nerves? She ought to get married.
Who can she marry? Poor dear.
Collie. They're just about the same age. I think it would be very suitable.
Wilfred says he's going smash.
They could manage. Nobody's got any money nowadays, but one gets along somehow. Even a marriage that isn't quite satisfactory is better than not being married at all.
Is that your experience?
I wasn't talking of myself. I haven't got anything to grumble at.
Wilfred wants me to run away with him.
Wilfred? What do you mean? Why?
He says he's in love with me.
The dirty old man. I don't understand. What does he suggest?
Well, I suppose his idea is to keep me till he gets his divorce, and then I suppose his idea is to marry me.
The beast!
I'm getting on, you know. I'm 26.
Lois!
What have I got to look forward to, exactly? Getting jumpy like Eva, or making the best of a bad job like you.
I have my children. Howard has his faults like everybody else, but he's fond of me. He looks up to me.
My dear, you've a wonderful character. I haven't. Do you think I haven't seen what a strain it is on you sometimes?
Of course it's a hard life. I ought to have known it would be when I married a tenant farmer.
But you didn't expect he'd drink.
I don't suppose he drinks any more than most men of his class.
Have you ever really quite got used to him?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, he's common, isn't he?
Are you quite sure that you and I are any great shakes? Lois, you're not really thinking of going away with that man.
No, not really. It's only that it's rather exciting to have the chance.
What are you two girls doing in here? Discussing frocks and frills, I'll be bound.
How are you, Father?
Oh, chatter, 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 all day long, I know you. It's a marvel to me that you never get tired of talking about clothes. Collie's here, isn't he?
Yes, he's playing bridge.
Well, run along, both of you, and send him in here. I want to see him.
All right.
Kiddies well?
Oh, yes.
It's a fine thing for them, living on a farm like that. Grand thing, a country life.
They've gone back to school now.
Yeah, of course, of course. Best thing in the world for them. Happiest time of their lives. How do you do?
You weren't in when I turned up at the office just now.
No, I've got someone waiting that I thought you better not meet. And I wanted to see you before I saw him. So I came through my private door.
I'm just as glad. I'm not used to solicitors' offices, and I'm afraid I'm always rather intimidated.
I'm afraid I've got something very serious to say to you.
Oh, Lord.
I'm sure you'll realise that it's not very pleasant for me to find myself in my present position.
I suppose that means the game's up. Have I got to file my petition?
The bank wrote to you last month telling you that you were overdrawn and that they wouldn't cash any further cheques you drew until your account was put in order.
Yes.
And after that, you gave several post-dated cheques in payments of various accounts.
I was being pestered for money all over the shop.
Well, you were hopelessly insolvent. How did you expect to meet them?
I thought something would turn up.
What? Don't you know that that's a criminal offence?
Oh, what rot. It's the sort of thing anyone might do when he was up against it.
But not without going to jail.
Good God, you don't mean to say they're going to prosecute?
I can't expect the injured parties to take it lying down.
But it's absurd. They know I didn't mean any harm.
It's almost incredible that you should be so unbusinesslike.
What should I know about business? I was in the Navy for 20 years.
Well, I'm afraid you've been very unwise.
Then what's going to happen?
The bank manager is in my office now. You must be prepared for the worst, Collie. A warrant will be applied for.
Does that mean I shall be arrested?
Well, of course, you'll be released on bail. I'll arrange that. If you elect to be tried by a jury, the justices will refer the case to the Court of Sessions. My own opinion at the moment is that the best thing you can do is to plead guilty and throw yourself on the mercy of the court.
But I'm not guilty.
Don't be such a fool. You're just as guilty as a thief who sneaks 10 bob from your till when no one is looking.
What will they do to me?
Well, in consideration of your previous good character and your record in the Navy, I have little doubt the judge will be lenient. Well, I should be very disappointed if you get more than 3 to 6 months in the second division.
You don't care, do you?
My dear boy, don't think I'm happy about it. In my profession, one often finds oneself in very disagreeable situations. But I don't remember having found myself in a more painful one than this.
Fortunately, most people get over seeing the other fellow come a cropper.
But it's not only the pleasant social relations we've always had with you, but that you should have got the DSO and been in command of a destroyer. It all makes your fall so much more distressing. I'm afraid it also makes it more disgraceful.
They'll take my DSO away from me.
I suppose so.
I suppose it doesn't occur to you that when a fellow has served the country for 20 years in a job that's unfitted him for anything else, it's rather distressing and disgraceful that he should be shoved out into the world with no means of earning his living and nothing between him and starvation but a bonus of £1,000 or so.
I can't go into all that. Though, of course, it is a good point to take up at the trial. I'll make a note of it. Well, of course, the answer is that the country was up against it and had to economise, and if a certain number of individuals had to suffer, it can't be helped.
When I was torpedoed during the war, they fished me out. God, what a bit of luck, I said. I never knew.
You mustn't despair. I've been a hunting man. It's a very good plan not to take your fences before you come to them. Now, look here. I must be off. There's whiskey and soda on the sideboard. You help yourself to a drink. I'm sure you want it. Goodbye, my boy. I'll let you know about things as soon as I hear.
Goodbye.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I was looking for my bag. I didn't know anyone was here.
I was just going.
Please don't. I won't disturb you.
What are you talking about? Surely you can come into your own dining room.
I wasn't speaking the truth. I knew you were here, and my bag's upstairs. I wanted to see you.
What about?
Everyone knows you're in difficulties. Father let fall a hint at luncheon. I knew he was seeing you this afternoon.
It's kind of you to bother, Evie. I've had rather a rough passage, but at all events, I know where I am now.
Won't you let me help you?
My dear, how can you?
It's only a matter of money, isn't it?
Only is good.
I've got £1,000 that my godmother left me. It's invested. And I've always dressed myself on the interest. I could let you have that.
I couldn't possibly take money from you. It's out of the question.
Why? If I want to give it to you.
It's awfully generous of you,
but... You must know how frightfully fond I am of you.
It's very nice of you, Evie. Besides, your father would never hear of it.
It's my own money. I'm not a child. Why shouldn't I buy an investment in your garage? I mean, then it would be just an investment.
Your father doesn't think much of me as it is. He'd think me a pretty mean skunk if he thought I'd induced you to put your money into an insolvent business.
You keep on talking of father. It's nothing to do with him. It's you and I that are concerned.
I know you're a damn good sort and you're always going out of your way to do things for people, but there are limits. Perhaps you'll want to get married one of these days, and then you'll find your £1,000 devilishly useful.
I shall never have a better use for it than to give it to someone who means so much to me as you do.
I'm awfully sorry. God knows I want the money, but I really can't take it from anyone like you.
I thought you liked me.
I like you very much. You're a jolly good friend.
I thought perhaps someday we might be more than friends. After all, if we were engaged, it would be very natural that I should come to the rescue when you were in a hole.
But we're not engaged.
But why shouldn't we pretend to be? Just for a little while, I mean. You could always break it off when you got straight.
My dear, what on earth put such an idea into your head?
You won't understand. How can you be so cruel?
I'm not cruel. I'm awfully grateful to you.
I can't say any more than I have. It's so humiliating.
I'm dreadfully sorry. I don't want to hurt your feelings.
After all, I'm not so old as all that. Plenty of men have wanted to marry me.
I don't doubt that for a minute. I'm quite convinced that one of these days you'll find someone that you really like, and I'm sure you'll make him a perfectly grand wife. I'm sorry.
Where's Colin?
Oh, how should I know?
We want him for bridge.
Well, you can see he isn't here, can't you?
He was here.
Well, he isn't here now.
Temper? What price the Angel of Mercy now?
You're very funny, aren't you? Terribly amusing.
I know what you're doing. You've been asking him to marry you.
You drunken brute! Damn you! Blast you!
I thought you were playing bridge.
No. Your father wanted to see Collie, and Sydney and Wilfred are having a game of piquet.
So you seized the opportunity to have a drink on the quiet.
My dear girl, I had to have something to pull myself together. Evie's been swearing at me. Such language, my dear. Called me a drunken brute. I mean, it shakes a chap's morale when a properly brought up young lady forgets herself like that.
Are you obliged to drink?
Well, in a manner of speaking, I am. My poor old father died of drink, and his poor old father died of drink, so it's in the family, see?
It's rotten for Ethel.
She has a lot to put up with, poor girl. You don't have to tell me. I know it. Fact is, she's too good for me.
Much.
That's what I say. She's a lady. I mean, you only have to look at her to know that. I can be a gentleman when I want to, but I don't want to all the time. I like to have a good old laugh now and again. She never does. The truth is, between me and you, she has no sense of humour.
I dare say, after being married to you for 15 years, it's worn rather thin.
I like a girl who's had a bit of fun in her. Let's have a good time while we're alive, I say. We can do all the sitting quiet we want when we're dead and buried.
There's something in that.
Pity you wasn't old enough then. I'd have married you instead.
Complimentary, aren't you?
You're not half the lady what Ethel is. And you're a bit of a devil, I shouldn't wonder. You and me would get on like a house on fire.
You're drunk.
No, I'm not. I'm cold stone sober.
And I like you better drunk.
Give me a kiss, honey.
Do you want your face slapped?
I don't mind.
The nerve of it.
Come on, be a sport.
Go to hell.
I would with you.
How dare you?
Oh, come off it. You don't mind. You liked it.
It almost made me sick. You stink of cows.
A lot of girls like that. Makes them go all funny.
You filthy beast.
Want another?
If it weren't for Ethel, I would go straight to Father.
Don't make me laugh. Look here. Why don't you come up to the farm for a few days? We could have a grand old time.
I don't know what you take me for, Howard.
Don't talk that sort of rot to me. You're human, same as I am, aren't you? What's the good of mouldering away without having a bit of fun in your life? You come up to the farm. Now the kids have gone to boarding school, their room's empty.
If you're not drunk, you're crazy.
No, I'm not. You'll come, my girl.
And what makes you think that?
Because I want you. And you know I want you. And there isn't a thing that takes a girl like that. By God, I want you.
Oh, Mother.
I've just been telling this young woman she ought to come up to the farm for a few days. She looks to me as if she wanted a change.
I'm glad you agree with me. Only a little while ago, I was suggesting that you should go and stay with Aunt Emily for 2 or 3 weeks.
I've been thinking it over, Mother. I dare say you're quite right. When do you think I'd better go?
Oh, the sooner the better. Tomorrow.
All right. I'll send the old girl a wire and tell her I'm coming.
You needn't do that. I've just written to her to say that you'll arrive in time for dinner.
Have you? You domineering old lady.
You're a very good girl, Lois. I didn't think you'd disregard my wishes.
I don't think I am a very good girl. But you are a darling old woman.
Oh, isn't it heavenly? Just heaven on earth to be with you. Just heaven on earth to be with you. Just heaven on earth to be with you.
How do you do? Mother's out. She'll be back to tea. She's gone to Stanbury.
Where are you going without saying goodbye to me?
I thought Mother would say it for me.
Don't go, Lewis.
Why not?
Why are you going?
Mother thought I wanted a change. I generally spend a fortnight with Aunt Emily once or twice a year. She's my godmother, and she says she's going to leave me something in her will.
I was going up to London tomorrow to settle that money on you.
Don't be silly. As if I wanted that. If I ran away with you, I wouldn't take it.
You might have given me the last fortnight. It means nothing to you and so much to me.
How did you know I was going?
Gwen told me.
How did she know?
Your mother rang up.
Oh.
Are you quite sure it was about the sale of work that Gwen came to see your mother yesterday?
She wouldn't have dared. You don't know Mother. She'd never let anyone say a word against any of it. You've only seen her when she's being nice. She can be as stiff as a poker if one tries to take a liberty with her.
Gwen spotted the pearls, all right.
Oh, I forgot. I can give them back to you now.
Won't you keep them? Please. It can't hurt you and it'll give me so much pleasure.
I don't see how. As far as you're concerned, it's just throwing away money.
I want to be able to think that you're wearing something I gave you. I want to think that they have the warmth of your body and they touch the softness of your neck.
Are you awfully in love with me?
Awfully.
Strange, isn't it? I wonder why.
I'm broken-hearted, Lewis. I know you don't love me, and there's no reason why you should. But you might. I'd do anything in the world to make you happy.
It's curious. It does give one rather a funny feeling to know someone's in love with you.
When Gwen told me you were going, the whole world went black. She tried to say it casually, but she knew she was thrusting a dagger in my heart, and she watched my face to see me writhe.
Poor Gwen. I suppose people can be rather foul when they're jealous.
Oh, damn Gwen. I can only think of myself. You're everything in the world to me, and everyone else can go to hell. It's my last chance, Lewis. Is there nothing I can say to persuade you?
Nothing.
I'm done. I'm finished.
I don't think so. You'll get over it. When are you going to the Riviera?
It's only a joke to you. God, I hate being old.
Why haven't the curtains been drawn? Oh, Wilfred.
How are you today?
I'll turn on the light. It is a foul day.
I'll be getting along.
We shall be seeing you again soon, I suppose.
I expect so.
Goodbye. Give my love to Gwen.
Goodbye.
What's the matter with him? He seems all funny today.
I didn't notice that he was any different.
Are you taking the 5:50?
Yes.
Oh, that gives you a nice time to have tea. Ethel's coming in.
I know. She wants me to take some partridges to Aunt Emily.
Tea ready?
It's not 5 yet.
Thank God for the fire. I hate that gas stove in my room. Mother's not back yet, I suppose.
No, she said she'd be into tea.
I'll put a record on, shall I?
Oh, for goodness sake, don't. It drives me mad.
Oh, all right.
I'm rather jumpy today. I suppose it's the east wind.
Give me my knitting, Lois, will you? I wonder if Collie will turn up.
I rang up to ask him to come in to tea. He hasn't been at the garage all day. How's everybody?
We brought the partridges. They'd better be hung for a couple of days.
Got many birds this year, Howard?
A few. What's that you're doing?
Knitting.
I'll put on the gramophone if you want to.
I'll put it on.
I'm afraid it won't be very amusing for you at Aunt Emily's.
I shall read a lot.
Let's hope she'll die soon and leave you a packet.
You've got very little to leave.
Turn off that gramophone.
What's the matter?
Something dreadful's happened. I thought I'd better come in and tell you at once.
Collie?
How do you know?
What is it, Father?
There's been an accident. Collie's been shot.
Shot? Who by?
Well, I'm afraid he shot himself.
Good God.
Is he dead?
Yes.
You. Evie? You killed him. You fiend!
What are you talking about?
You fiend. You beast!
beasts!
Easy.
Leave me alone. You could have saved him. You devil. I hate you.
Are you mad, Eva?
You hounded him to his death. You never gave him a chance.
Well, good heavens, we gave him chance after chance.
He begged for money. He begged for time. And not one of you would help him. Not one of you remembered that he had risked his life for you 100 times. You brutes.
Oh, what rubbish.
I hope you're shamed before the whole world. Let everyone know that a brave and gallant gentleman went to his death because there wasn't a soul in this bloody place who would lend him £200.
No, that's pretty language, Eva. In point of fact, £200 wouldn't have helped him. It would have saved him from going to jail, that's all.
Jail?
Yes. A warrant for his arrest was issued this morning.
Poor Collie. I can't bear it. Cruel.
Now, my dear, now don't take it so much to heart. Well, of course, the whole thing is very unfortunate. No one regrets it more than I do. The poor fellow was in a hopeless mess, and perhaps he took the best way out of a situation that could only have thrown discredit on the uniform he'd worn.
But he was alive, and he's dead.
Well, he was a very nice fellow and a gentleman. Unfortunately, he wasn't a very good businessman.
As if I cared if he was a very good businessman.
Well, there's no reason why you should, but his creditors did.
He was everything in the world to me.
Oh, my dear. What an exaggerated way to speak. You ought to have more sense at your age.
He loved me, and I loved him.
Now, don't talk such nonsense.
We were engaged to be married.
Since when?
Since ages.
Well, my dear, you're out of that. Well, he was in no position to marry.
It was my only chance.
You have a good home. You'd much better stay here.
Why should I be sacrificed all the time? Why should I be at everybody's beck and call? I am sick of being put upon. I am sick of you. I am sick of Sydney. I am sick of Lois. I am sick of you all. Damn you!
No.
Damn you!
Stop.
Damn you!
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it.
Come on. Ethel, come on. Get a hand here. Come on.
Damn you!
Come on.
What's the matter with her?
Hysterics. Upset you?
I'm frightened.
I'll telephone for Uncle Charlie. I think she wants a doctor.
I've put her on the dining room sofa.
Are Ethel and Father with her?
Yes. Poor old girl gave you quite a turn, didn't it?
I'm frightened.
It's not serious, you know.
Why do you do that?
I don't like to see you miserable. I'm quite sober.
Better take your arm away. Ethel can come in at any minute.
I'm terribly fond of you, Lois. Don't you like me?
Not much.
Shall I come over and see you when you're staying at Aunt Emily's?
Why should you?
Lois.
Isn't human nature funny? I know with my mind that you're a rotter and I despise you. Isn't it lucky you can't see into my heart?
Why? Oh, I see what you mean now. Well, that's quite okay. Give it time, girlie. I'll wait.
You swine.
Uncle Charlie's on his way around now. How are you going to get to the station?
I'll drive you if you like.
Oh, it's all arranged.
Prentice has come. They're putting Evie to bed.
I'll go and see if I can do something.
Yeah. Sydney, did you know anything about her being engaged to Collie?
I don't believe she was.
Oh, do you mean to say you think it was pure invention?
I shouldn't wonder. But I think she'll stick to it. After all, no one can prove she wasn't.
Oh, it's a terrible thing about poor Collie. No one can be more distressed than I. He may have been a very good naval officer, but he was a very poor businessman. That's all there is to it.
We might put that on his tombstone. It would make a damn good epitaph.
If that's a joke, Sydney, I must say I think it's in very bad taste.
You see, I feel I have a certain right to speak. I know how dead keen we all were when the war started. Every sacrifice was worth it. We didn't say much about it because we were rather shy, but honour did mean something to us. And patriotism wasn't just a word. And then, when it was all over, we did think that those of us who died hadn't died in vain. And those of us who were broken and shattered and knew they wouldn't be any good in the world were buoyed up by the thought that if they'd given everything, they'd given it to a great cause.
And they had.
Do you still think that? I don't. I know that we were the dupes of the incompetent fools who ruled the nations. I know that we were sacrificed to their vanity, their greed and their stupidity. And the worst of it is that, as far as I can tell, they haven't learned a thing. They're just as stupid as they ever were. They muddle on, muddle on, and one of these days they'll muddle us all into another war.
Oh.
And when that happens, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out in the streets and cry, "Look at me. Don't be a lot of damned fools. It's all bunk what they're saying to you about honour and patriotism and glory. Bunk, bunk, bunk."
No, you've had a lot to put up with, Sydney, I know that. But don't think you're the only one. No one wants another war less than I do. But if it comes, I'm convinced you'll do your duty. So far as in you lies. As you did it before. It was a great grief to me that when the call came I was too old to answer. But I did what I could. And if I'm wanted again, I shall be ready again.
God, give me patience.
You have a whiskey and soda, old boy. You'll feel better.
The fact is, Sydney, you think too much.
I dare say you're right, Father. You see, I have little else to do. I'm thinking of collecting stamps.
Oh, my, now, that's a very good idea, my boy. Well, if you go about it cleverly, there's no reason why it shouldn't be a very sound investment.
Hello, Mother.
Poor Collie's killed himself.
Yes, I've heard. I'm sorry.
He was in rather a state about it.
I'll go to her. Charlie, I was just coming upstairs.
I wouldn't. I've given Evie a hypodermic. I'd rather she was left alone.
Take a puke, Charlie. I'm going back to the office. I'll be along for tea in a quarter of an hour.
Very well.
I say, I think I'll just go along to Collie's garret. There are one or two bits and pieces I've got my eye on. I'll just as soon make sure that nobody sneaks them. Tell Ethel I'll come back for her. Shan't be long.
What did the specialist say, Mother?
What specialist, Sydney?
Come off it, darling. You don't generally favour your family with a very detailed account of your movements. When you took such pains to tell us exactly why you were going into Stanbury this afternoon, I guessed that you were going to see a specialist.
I never believe a word doctors say to me.
Don't mind me.
Tell me about Evie.
I hardly know yet. It may be it would be better if she went into a home for a few weeks.
She isn't mad.
She's very unbalanced. I was just coming round when Sydney telephoned. Murray rang me after he'd seen you.
Well, why didn't he mind his own business?
It was his business.
Would you like me to leave you?
No. Stay, if you like. But go on with your knitting and pretend you don't hear.
All right.
I'm afraid Murray could only confirm my diagnosis, Charlotte.
I had an idea he would, you know. You stick together, you doctors.
He agrees with me that an immediate operation is necessary.
I believe he does.
When I spoke to him on the telephone, he said you were hesitating a little.
Not at all. I didn't hesitate for a minute.
I'm delighted to hear it. I'll make all the arrangements, and we'll have it done as soon as possible.
I'm not going to be operated on, Charlie.
My dear, I must be frank with you. It's the only chance we have of saving your life.
That's not true, Charlie. It's the only chance you have of prolonging my life. For a few months or a year, perhaps. And then it'll start all over again. Do you think it's worth it? I don't.
You have your husband and your children to think of.
I know. It would be a frightful expense. If I got over the operation, I should always be an invalid. I should have to have a nurse. I should be much more bother than I was worth.
Well, that's unkind, Charlotte. And it's untrue.
You've known me a great many years, Charlie. Haven't you noticed that when I once make up my mind, I don't change it?
You're a damn fool, Charlotte.
I've often wondered in the past how I should take it if I was told that I was going to die. I've wondered if I'd scream or faint. You know, I didn't do either. It gave me a funny sort of thrill. I felt as if I'd drunk a glass of port on an empty stomach. I had some shopping to do at Stanbury afterwards. I'm afraid I was rather extravagant. I felt so gay and light-hearted.
That's more than I do.
It shows how right Leonard is when he says it's silly to take your jumps before you come to them.
Oh, damn Leonard.
I'm free. Nothing matters very much anymore. It's a very comfortable feeling.
And the rest?
Oh, the rest, my dear, is between me and the pale, distant shadow that is all you clever people have left me of God.
I admire your courage. I should like to think that I should have enough to follow your example.
There is one thing I am going to ask you to do for me.
My dear, anything in the world.
I don't want to suffer more than I need. We've always had a great deal of affection for one another, Charlie.
I suppose we have.
You doctors are a brutal lot, and there's no end to the amount of pain you can bear in other people.
I will do everything medical practice permits me to save you from suffering.
But I'm going to ask you to do something more.
I'll do even that.
Then that's all right. You might ring the bell, Sydney. I'm simply dying for a cup of tea.
I didn't know you were back, Mother.
Oh. I was going up to see Evie, but Uncle Charlie thought I'd better wait.
She's quite comfortable.
Where's Lois?
She's in her room. She's just coming.
Oh, Gertrude, if anyone calls, I'm not at home.
Very good, ma'am.
I'll take myself off.
Don't be stupid. I'm going to stay and have a cup of tea.
I have other patients, you know.
They can wait. You ought to be starting soon, Lois, oughtn't you?
I've got time yet. Won't take me 5 minutes to get to the station.
Well, give Aunt Emily my love. Her chrysanthemums ought to be coming on just now.
Mrs. Cedar has called, ma'am.
I told you to say I wasn't at home.
I said you wasn't, ma'am, but she says it's very important.
Oh, tiresome woman. Tell her I've just come back from Stanbury and I'm very tired. Say, will she forgive me, but I don't feel up to seeing anybody today.
I'm sorry to force myself on you. It's a matter of life and death. I must see you.
I'm not very well, Gwen. Don't you think you can wait till tomorrow?
No, no, no. Tomorrow it'll be too late. Oh, God, what shall I do?
Well, since you're here, perhaps the best thing would be to sit down and have a cup of tea.
Lois and Wilfred are going to elope.
Oh, my dear, don't be so silly. You're making a perfect nuisance of yourself.
It's true, I tell you, it's true.
Lois is going to spend a fortnight with my sister-in-law.
She's not going to your sister-in-law's. Wilfred's meeting her at Stanbury. They're going to London.
What are you talking about, Gwen?
I heard every word you said on the phone.
When?
Just now, 10 minutes ago. I'm not such a perfect fool as you thought me. I had an extension put up into my room. Can you deny that you spoke to Wilfred?
No.
You said, Wilfred, it's a go. And he said, what do you mean? And you said, I'm trusting myself to your tender mercies. You're for it, my boy. I'm going to elope with you.
She was joking with him.
Funny joke. He said, my God, you don't mean it. And she said, I'll get out of the train at Stanbury. Meet me in the car and we'll talk it over on the way to London.
Is it true, Lois?
Yes.
You damned fool, Lois.
Oh, Lois. I've never done you any harm. I've been a good friend to you. You can't take my husband from me.
I'm not taking him from you. You lost him years ago.
You're young. You'll have plenty of chances before you're through. He's all I've got. If he leaves me, I swear to you that I'll kill myself.
But why have you come here? Why didn't you go to your husband?
He won't listen to me. Oh, what a fool I've been. I ought to have known when I saw the pearls.
What pearls?
She's wearing them now. She pretends they're false, but they're real. And he bought them for her.
Take them off, Lois, and give them to Gwen.
Do you think I'd touch them? He hates me. I begged him not to leave me. He said he was sick to death of me. He pushed me over. He's gone. He's gone to join her.
Gwen, don't give me like that.
Oh, don't let her go to him. You know what it feels like to be old. You know how defenseless one is. She'll regret it. He'll throw her aside when he's tired of her, as he's thrown all the others aside. He's hard and cruel and selfish.
If that's true, if he's all you say, I should have thought you were well rid of him.
I'm too old to start fresh. I'm too old to be left alone. He's mine. I went through the divorce court to get him. I swear to you before God that you shall never marry him. He forced his first wife to divorce him because she hadn't money. But I've got money of my own. I'll never divorce him.
Nothing would induce me to marry him.
Oh, take him if you want to. He'll come back to me. He's old. He tries to keep up. It's all a sham. I know the effort it is. He's tired to death and he won't give in. What good can he be to you? You ought to be ashamed.
Gwen!
Money. Oh, curse the money. He's a rich man and you haven't got a bob between you. You're all in it. All of you. You all want to get something out of it. You brutes. You beasts.
Come, Mrs. Cedar, we've had enough of this. You go too far. You must get out of this.
I won't go.
If you don't, I shall put you out.
I'll make such a scandal that you'll never be able to hold your heads up
again.
That's
enough now. Get out.
Leave me alone.
I'm going to take you home. Come on.
I'm sorry to have exposed you to this disgusting scene, Mother.
You're not really going off with that man, Lois.
I am.
You can't be in love with him.
Of course not. If I were, do you think I'd be such a fool as to go?
Lois.
If I loved him, I'd be afraid.
You don't know what you're doing. It would be awful and unnatural if you loved him, but there would be an excuse for you.
Has love done very much for you, Ethel?
Me? I don't know what you mean.
You've been a good wife and a good mother, and a lot of good it's done you. I've seen you grow old and tired and hopeless. I'm frightened, Ethel. Frightened.
I wasn't obliged to marry. Mother and father were against it.
You could have stayed on at home like Evie. So can I. I don't want to become like Evie.
Mother, can't you do something? It's so awful. It's such madness.
I'm listening to what Lois has to say.
You're not running away from anybody here.
Oh, my dear, that isn't at all in my character.
I thought that perhaps someone had been trying to make love to you.
Oh, Ethel, don't be so silly. Who is there to make love to me in this godforsaken place?
When did you decide, Lois?
30 minutes ago.
Have you considered all the consequences?
If I did that, I should stay here twiddling my thumbs till my dying day.
It's not a very nice thing that you're doing.
I know.
It'll be a dreadful blow to your father.
I'm sorry.
And the scandal won't be very nice for us.
I can't help it.
What's to happen to you if he chucks you?
Darling, you are years older than I am, and a married woman. How can you be so innocent? Has it never occurred to you what power it gives to a woman when a man is madly in love with her and she doesn't care a row of pins for him?
Ethel, go and tell your father tea is ready.
I'll go and put on my hat. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Mother. I don't want to cause you pain.
Have you quite made up your mind, Lois?
Quite.
That is what I thought. Then perhaps you had better go and put on your hat.
What about Father? I don't want him to make a scene.
I'll tell him after you've gone.
Thank you.
Are you going to let her go, Mother?
How can I stop her?
You can tell her what the surgeon told you this afternoon.
No, my dear. With one foot in the grave, it's rather late to start blackmail.
She wouldn't go, you know.
I don't think she would. I can't do that, Sydney. I should feel like apologising for every day I lingered on.
She might change her mind.
She's young. She has her life before her. She must do what she thinks best with it.
Aren't you afraid she'll come an awful cropper?
She's hard and selfish. I don't think she's stupid. She can take care of herself.
She might be a stranger to hear you speak.
Does it sound unkind? You see, I feel as if nothing mattered very much anymore. I've had my day. I've done what I could. Now those who come after me must shift for themselves.
You're not frightened at all?
Not a bit. I'm strangely happy. I'm rather relieved to think it's over. I'm not at home in this world of today. I'm pre-war. Everything's so changed now. To me, life is like a party that was very nice to start with, but has become rather rowdy as time went on. And I'm not at all sorry to go home.
I've told Father. He's just coming.
Mother? Evie's coming down the stairs.
Oh. I thought you were lying down, Evie.
I had to come down to tea. Collie's coming.
Collie?
He'd have been so disappointed if I hadn't come.
You've put on your best dress.
Oh, it is rather an occasion, isn't it? You see, I'm engaged to be married.
Evie, what do you mean?
Collie's coming here this afternoon to talk to Father about it. Don't say anything about it till he comes.
Let me give you your tea, darling.
I don't want any tea. I'm too excited. What are these pearls doing here?
You can have them if you like.
This?
They're mine.
Can I really? It'll be an engagement present. Oh, Lois, that is sweet of you. Collie always says I have such a pretty neck.
Now, what about this cup of tea? Hello, Evie. All right again?
Oh, yes. There's nothing the matter with me.
All ready to start, Lois?
Yes.
Well, now, don't cut it too fine. I may look you up one of these days, Lois. I've got to go over to Canterbury to see a man on business. Don't suppose I should be able to get back for the night, Ethel?
No.
I'll come over and fetch you in the car, Lois, and we'll do a picture together.
That would be grand.
Well, I must say, it's very nice to have a cup of tea by one's own fireside and surrounded by one's own family. If you come to think of it, we none of us have anything very much to worry about. We have our health, we have our happiness. Things haven't been going too well lately, but I think the world is turning the corner, and we can all look forward to better times in the future. This old England of ours isn't done yet, and I, for one, believe in it and all it stands for.
God save our gracious King, long live our noble King, God save our King. Send him victorious, happy and glorious, long to reign over us, God save our King.
The Services Rendered was written by Somerset Maugham.
Leonard Ardsley was played by David Calder, Charlotte Ardsley by Sean Thomas, Dr. Prentice by John Rowe, Sydney Ardsley by Tom Espiner, Eva by Kath Whitefield, Edith by Mariah Gale, and Lois by Louise Brearley. Wilfred Cedar was played by Ron Cook, Gwen Cedar by Hetty Baines-Russell, Collie Stratton by Justin Salinger, and Howard Bartlett by Michael Schaefer. For Services Rendered was adapted and directed for radio by Lou Kemp and is a BBC Scotland production for Radio 4.